Well, here's the thing. The Nicki and the Corvettes album that came out in 1980 has never been out of print. And in a certain, say, genre of music, it's always been popular. And I didn't really know this until it came out. They re-released it in, like, I don't know, 2000 or 2001 on CD with additional songs, like the first single that Nicki Corvette and the Convertibles did, and an unreleased single that we did in 81 or 82 that we never put out. We pressed it, but we just never released it. And when that came out, you know, I started doing press for it. And over the, starting in the like mid to late 90s, I would get messages from girls and bands saying, you know, oh, I love you. You know, we covered your songs. And for whatever reason, you know, I didn't think anybody really knew who Nicki and the Corvettes were. So I thought I was somehow being universally punked. You know, I'd meet people and they're like, oh, yeah, we love your album. And, you know, when you meet somebody, it's something you say. Oh, I love your music. I love this. Whatever. Whether you know it or not, just, you know, to make them feel better. So I thought everybody was just doing that. And then I started getting singles that people sent me of songs of mine they had covered. And then one day I went, wow, people actually know who I am. And so I did a one-off show for some friends in LA, and all of a sudden people are like, oh yeah, we want you to play. I'm like, well, I don't really have a band. I was playing with a LA band called the Pinks. It was a bunch of girls in their 20s, and it was really fun. And then I got a phone call from someone who wanted me to play a festival in Minneapolis, and I called him fully intending to say, you know, I don't have a band, I can't do it. And he's like, well, we have a band. We'll learn your songs. And I hung up the phone and went, did I just agree to fly to Minneapolis and play with these people that I've never met, you know, that I have no idea if this is all legit? But I did it, and it was great. They knew all the songs. It was a really fun show. We got along really well. And then they're like, well, let's record a single. Well, let's do some East Coast shows. You know, I was just kind of like, okay. And then we got an email from Japan saying, you know, I want to bring your band to Japan. And I, again, didn't really think that it was legit. So I, you know, like I was going back and forth with the guy writing. And I said, well, we need money for our plane tickets up front. And he said, okay. I said, I need to see, you know, all the clubs where stuff is booked and, you know, make sure that it's actually booked. And, you know, I need all the information ahead of time. And he said, okay. And so I told the band, I'm like, we got our tickets. We're going to go. Hopefully it'll be great. If not, we'll just come back, you know, no loss. And we got there. Because I told the guy, I'm like, nobody in Japan knows who I am. He's like, oh, they do. I'm like, okay, whatever. It's your money. And we got there, and I had done a phone interview for the biggest like punk magazine in Japan called Doll Magazine. And so I asked him if I could see it. And so he hands me this magazine, and the entire cover is me. And I was like, going on. And we did four shows, and people were crying when I walked on stage, and they were like, we never thought we'd get to see you. And they knew the words to all the songs, and it just blew me away. And every show was sold out. We, you know, like, we didn't bring a ton of merch because we didn't think it would sell, and we sold out before we ever played. You know, like during the opening bands of our first show, we sold out of merch. And it was amazing. And at the end of it, I was like, I'm going to come back. And the guy said, okay, next year. And so we went back the next year. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, the first couple times I went, I had different bands. I had my core band, like Nikki and the Corvette and the Stingrays. That was my early 2000 band. And finally they said, we want to just be your band. I was like, okay. They're like, we want to record an album. And I said, okay. So I went to Minneapolis. We recorded an album. It did great. We went and toured Europe. It was my first time touring there. We did a 3-week tour and, you know, everybody knew who I was. And I was like, wow, this is great. And, you know, I've just continued to build on that. You know, people found out I was playing again and they'd say, oh, come play here, come play there. And at some point, the Stingrays, you know, the bass player and guitar player got married, had a kid, and it's not like they could just pick up and go anymore. And I wanted to, you know, I got an offer to play a festival in Europe, and there was a promoter and a booking agent in Italy that had said he wanted to bring me over. And so I wrote him and said, I got offered this festival. You know, maybe you could book a couple shows. And he said, why don't you use a band here? And I said, well, you know, I don't really want to fly to Europe and go on tour with a band I have never met. But he convinced me to do it. So I did. I played with this Italian band who are now the Romeos. I met them 2 days before the tour started. We had one rehearsal and then we did a 2-week tour. And it worked out great. And so I've been playing with them ever since. And on that tour, I wrote a song that we finished writing during the tour and added to the set. Then we recorded it. Then we wrote some other songs. And then we went back to Europe. And so that's kind of how I live my life. You know, people say, hey, let's do this. And I'm like, okay. And I do it and see how it evolves. And here we are. It's 2019 and I get to tour the world.